Fellow Rotarians, it's my pleasure to introduce Virginia Lovett today. Virginia has had an outstanding career so far in the arts. She has been the executive director of the Melbourne Theatre Company since 2013. Before that, she ran the Melbourne International Comedy Festival for 5 years, a period that saw, I think, outstanding, I think, record attendance and very great sort of funding increases, obviously very important in the arts. She has a long career in marketing and comms, communications. She's worked with the Zoos Victoria, Sydney's Powerhouse and the Art Gallery of New South Wales, the Sydney Festival and the Sydney Theatre Company and the NGV. She's also worked as a ministerial advisor to state ministers in Victoria and New South Wales. I think you have been, I don't think you are currently, a chair of Force Majeure in Sydney, an arena theatre company in Bendigo, and she's on the Executive Council of Live Performance Australia, a member of the Arts ABC Arts Reference Panel. She's also a board member of the Committee for Melbourne. So she's going to talk to us today about the Melbourne Theatre Company and the thriving arts precinct. You can actually see her venue down there in the far corner. I hope you're all regular goers. I'm delighted that she's here. My daughter works for her, Siri, and hope you're keeping her busy. And I look forward to hearing more about the MTC and the Arts Centre. Virginia.
Thank you for inviting me here today. I have been looking forward to it since Peter spoke to me a couple of months ago, and yes, we're very lucky to have his daughter with us at the company. She's a great asset to our development department. Like Rotary, the Melbourne Theatre Company's vision is to make a difference. We want every generation to experience remarkable storytelling and to understand the time in which they live. And as you know, Victoria is privileged to have a very vibrant arts and cultural scene, and the Melbourne Theatre Company has been a leading player in that scene for nearly 60 years. I'd be very surprised if no one in this room hasn't been to a Melbourne Theatre Company show. I'd be very surprised if at one stage you haven't been a subscriber. If you're a lapsed subscriber, I will like to see you later over there in the corner. I will bring you back to the fold. I notice in the room we've got one of our wonderful donors, Peter Clemenger, who comes to many of our shows and has recently been to Ideal Husband, he told me. So I do have forms and I will bring you back into the fold. It is a wonderful company. As a Melburnian, I was schooled in many parts of this city that defines our cultural assets. My aunts, at a very young age, would take me to the theatre. We usually would have dinner at Florentino's downstairs, and then we would wander to one of the heritage theatres, usually to see a musical, but occasionally we would go down to Russell Street Theatre. And it was here at Russell Street Theatre in my university days that I had one of the most defining sort of moments in my theatre time. And I saw a show then, it was a premiere of Angels in America. At the time, it was so contemporary to me. It spoke of the now, it spoke of it, what was happening on stage was actually happening in the streets outside, and it was happening to my friends. And to me, that was quite a revelation, that I, for the first time, theatre could be so moving and it could be so powerful. And maybe it actually defined why I started to move into the arts and culture as a career. And as you know, MTC began as the Union Theatre Repertory Company in 1953 at the Melbourne University. And MTC, for many who don't know, is actually the oldest professional theatre company in Australia. And from that small company that John Sumner founded to present repertory seasons of the world's best plays, MTC grew rapidly to become a major Australian arts company. It's a Melbourne institution, and it became the model for all the state theatre companies around the country, such as STC, Queensland Theatre Company and the State Company in South Australia. So for 64 years, which is quite exceptional, we've been creating theatre for the people of Melbourne and also for the people throughout Victoria, and enriching lives and also influencing young people with not only the shows we do here, but the shows we tour around regional Victoria, and bringing them, I suppose, what I call the magic of live performance. MTC still remains a department of the Melbourne University, and it's a relationship we nurture across many of the areas of the university, particularly, of course, with the VCA down there. We work very closely with the VCA, or what it's now called, the Faculty of Fine Arts and Music. We work with their students, we work with their departments, and now with that South Bank and the new arts and cultural precinct that's going to be built up in the North Bank, we're going to actually embed ourselves more and more with the university's departments. We also see that as our next generation of theatre goers. In any one course of the day at Melbourne University, there's 60,000 students that walk across their campuses. So of course, this is an area where we see we can develop our next generation of theatre goers. So I thought I'd give you a couple of stats to whet your appetite, because there will be questions after. If you're not listening, I will be quizzing you. And also just to get a picture, for you to get a picture of our size of our company. Today we're the largest subscribed theatre company in Australia. We have 23,000 subscribers. We have a total revenue of $29 million. 56 of that comes from our box office. So we get $15 million from our box office each year. This makes us highly commercial. It also makes us totally reliant, or too reliant, I should say, on earned income, what we call earned income. And we can talk about that later in question. We get now 13% of our revenue from philanthropy and donations. When I started 6 years ago, we only got 3%. So we've really increased that. It's a very important area of our revenue, and now it's sitting at 13%. When I started, we only got 1% from our subscriber base. Now we're getting 6% from our subscriber base. We're actually one of the lowest subsidised arts companies in the nation, where you see orchestras and opera companies sitting at about between 30, 40, 60% of government subsidy. MTC sits at 7% of government subsidy, and that's net of payroll tax. Because we're a department of the university, we're actually having to pay payroll tax. We're the only Victorian arts organisation that actually has to pay payroll tax. So the state government gives me a grant of $510,000, and then every year I have to pay payroll tax of $630,000. We also then derive revenue of about 7% from corporate sponsorship. Corporate sponsorship used to be a much bigger player. When I started in the arts down at the NGV, one of the first blockbusters I did was Shell Presents Van Gogh, and I think they gave us nearly $1 million to do that exhibition. Now, obviously, corporate sponsorship is a stagnant sort of area for the arts and museums and galleries, whereas philanthropy is obviously, that's where our biggest growth will be. Some other statistics. In 2017, we did 555 performances. At any one time, we've got either two or three shows running. We pretty much only shut down at Christmas. So if you have visitors into the city, I pretty much guarantee you'd be able to take them to an MTC show. We employ 529 creative actors and industry professionals each year. I have about 100 full-time staff down with us. They include costumiers, scenic artists, wig makers, carpenters, directors. I have a master tailor who's been with us for 45 years at the company. He started in London as a tailor when he was 15, and he immigrated out here, and he's been working with us ever since. If you did see Ideal Husband, you would have seen his work on stage. He was able to turn those frock coats around in 2 days. About 9.3 million of our wages goes directly to shows, so you see it on stage. and about 2.5 million of our wages goes directly to actors and directors and creatives. So that's about 109% of our government subsidy goes directly to artists. Last year we had 215,000 people come to our shows. 15,000 of those people were from regional Victoria. We do a lot of push into regional Victoria to try and come and, we call it, make a date with Melbourne. We try and bring them in from Ballarat, Bendigo, Ballerine, Peninsula, maybe every 3 months to say, come and have a date with Melbourne, see a show, enjoy the food, buy better shoes, shop, see the galleries, come and visit the precinct. We also had 5,000 interstate visitors. So we've worked out we're driving about $18 million of economic impact into the state each year when we're not having a blockbuster show. This year, some of you may have seen Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. That was one of our big, big shows. I worked on that for about 4 years to negotiate that from the National in London. That drove economic impact alone of nearly $12 million on one show. We sold nearly 46,000 tickets to that. So really, we're returning on our government investment. We're nearly returning over 700% of our government investment back into Victoria, back into jobs, and back into the economy. We're also about access. We distribute about 10,000 school tickets to our main stage shows. And we're the only state theatre company that tours an education show through regional Victoria and Tasmania. We also have, through one of our great foundation partners, the ability to subsidise tickets to disadvantaged schools and disadvantaged students. So we're able to offer those students tickets to our shows for $5, which is amazing. And we distributed about 3,600 of those tickets last year. We also have a national Indigenous scholarship program to encourage more Indigenous workers, particularly in production, at our back of house. 10 years ago, we moved from Ferrar Street into South Bank. We built our own theatre, which is the one with the, looks like the old big Domino's pizza with all the piping. It's next door to the Melbourne Recital Centre. In there we have two theatres. One's a 560-seat theatre and one's a smaller 160-seat theatre. We use that, mainly the big theatre, ourselves, where we hire the little one out. But we also still hire the Arts Centre, the Playhouse and the Fairfax. But when I started, I really moved a lot of the shows out of the Arts Centre, glad Claire Spencer's not here, to really what I call sweat our asset much harder, that we were putting much more shows into our own theatre. That's where we have our own restaurants, that's where we have our own full-time staff. So we really tried to get away from hiring the Arts Centre and really push our asset harder. And then further down Sturt Street, you may not be able to see it, is our headquarters. That's a 6,000 square metre production house. And that's where we build our shows. That's where we have everyone from wardrobe, wigs, millinery, artistic. That's where all our rehearsal spaces are. And that's where we actually also take over one hour our rehearsal space at the moment and put all our ticketing. We actually build our own subs room and we do our own ticketing as well. So we're very much a lean, mean machine down there to really make use of every space as well. It's also fantastic to have our production house, and it's pretty much back of house starts at probably 5:30 in the morning, and they knock off at about 3 or 4, and then the theatres start up about 5, and they finish at 1. So we're pretty much like a factory in the morning, and then we kick into like an entertainment complex at night. But it's very fantastic to have everything under the one roof and so close to our theatres. And particularly in that precinct, because for us, every show's a prototype. Unlike the opera, where they've got sets that they can store and they're in repertory, we are actually making a new show every 5 weeks. We don't have the luxury of years and years of R&D, so every 4 to 6 weeks, we're putting a new show into the marketplace. So with 11 shows a year, every 4 to 6 weeks, you know, putting a new show in with new marketing and testing the market, that's a pretty risky and pretty stressful business to be in. And that's probably why I don't have any fingernails. But that's also why our subscriber base is incredibly important to us, because they buy our packages and they underpin our whole season. And then we go out to single ticket buyers. So it's very, that's our base for us. Moving into South Bank, it's now, 10 years ago there was nothing. Obviously now it's home to many, many arts and cultural organisations. What that's done is not only has it made it more vibrant, but it's very collegial. We work very closely, obviously, with the Arts Centre. We work closely now with the National Gallery. We were part of the MoMA public programs. And it's also because it's geographically, we're all very close. We run into each other when we're buying coffees. We talk about it. And I think that thing, the difference between Sydney and Melbourne is the geography, that all these companies are together. We want to see the sector better. We want to see more tourists come in. We want to see more people experience it. So we start to talk about what can we do to make our industry better. And so we talk about how to make the arts more accessible, how do we drive more people in. And even though we're sort of competitive, we really do want to, you know, if the tide lifts, all the boats lift with us. And that's where I think there is a difference between Sydney and Melbourne, and I think that's why the whole precinct will benefit. But we are, you know, poised on very exciting times. As if you've been down there, you'll see a lot of the construction happening. The University of Melbourne has invested $200 million into that precinct. Behind us, you may see it, is the new conservatoriums being built. That's the John Wardle building. That's the most expensive building the university has invested in. They're going to move the conservatorium down from Parkville, and that's going to be home for 3,000 music students there. And it's going to be quite extraordinary. With that, the Buxton Contemporary Art Gallery has opened across the road from us, and also the university took over the old police stables, and made those into contemporary art spaces for the VCA students. So we're seeing this whole new cultural precinct come alive. The City of Melbourne have started to commence their $40 million development, and that's going to link St Kilda Road to the Yarra. So over the next 3 years, they've started work in front of us. That's the first year in 2018. They're basically going to, they did a study and found that South Bank Boulevard doesn't carry as many cars as it was planned to carry. So they're going to collapse that from four lanes into two lanes. And basically, with the lanes that are now, they're going to green those lanes, and it's going to be pedestrianised, it's going to be bike lanes, it's going to have new public art strategy, and they're going to connect that in 2019 they'll do in front of the ABC, and in 2020 the whole will be connected to the Yarra. So that sort of flow from the Yarra completed in 2020, so you'll see at the moment a lot of disruption in front of our building. They're moving the tram tracks, which is amazing. They're going to move them in like a week, and put green grass in between the tram tracks, and new super tram stops will be put down there in the precinct. And obviously, with the recent government announcement of purchasing, the final piece in the puzzle is the CUB building, and the government bought the CUB building, and that's earmarked to be the new NGV3. And then that will connect the Arts Centre development. So the whole, what will complete the connection is that the St Kilda Road organisations will then be connected to the South Bank precinct. And I think if you've seen the drawings that were announced, it's basically that in between where the Inga King is, they'll sort of move down like a Spanish steps at the back, in between, in with the Y site, and then move down the back into Sturt Street, and we'll be connected through that with the new NGV and the new Arts Centre development. The Y site, well, what we call the Y site, which is that sort of empty site next to the ballet building, I think is also earmarked to be the Performing Arts Museum and home to Orchestra Victoria. So It's going to be truly a global arts precinct, and this is a huge investment in arts and cultural infrastructure by both governments. I think it has to be a bipartisan arrangement because it's going to take many, many years. I suppose the question for MTC is, how do we respond to all this new development? How do we respond to these new visitors, this new commercial opportunity that's afforded to us? And so shaping our strategic thinking is, how do we continue to be relevant, accessible and entertaining to new generations of new visitors? Also feeding into this is our other big challenge, is how do we respond to our growing and diverse and sprawling population? And to answer some of those questions, we've launched new programs to create new work, building on some, you know, that Peter has been a great donor to, building on our playwriting initiatives. We've launched another new 5-year playwriting initiative with more commissions, new writers to really look at our contemporary landscape, to really bring to the fore new contemporary Australian work. We've got women in theatre programs as well. We're also looking at a digital strategy to reach more people that can't make it into our theatres. And that will hopefully offer us training and employment opportunities for regional areas where high youth unemployment is apparent to us when we're training. So we're hoping that we can entice them into the creative industries. So we hope that we can provide pathways for artists and production staff into the future. And as I said, it's exciting times, you know, and collectively creative industries contribute in Victoria $22 billion to Victoria, and that's 8% of the total economy. So the potential for what this precinct can add across jobs, social capital, arts education, training, and new generations of engaged arts goers is going to be a wonderful opportunity. Thank you.